Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. And while I'm thinking about it, since I just saw that note, do pray for Elijah. He's a young man that sits on the platform playing his guitar or banjo, as we found the other day. He has had to stay home sick, and so do pray for him that he'll get feeling better. And so he just sent me a text before the service to let him know that he wasn't going to be here, that he was under the weather. So pray for him. Lord will bring healing to him. But as we come to Luke chapter 17, I'm looking at a thankful man. As we come to this time of year, yes, we're having our Thanksgiving meal now for our church. We'll have Thanksgiving, the official day of Thanksgiving, in a couple Thursdays yet, but take time to think of being a thankful person. And I trust, as I usually say around this time of year, that it's not just at this time that we are thankful. And we take that day on Thanksgiving and we think of how God has blessed us and we're thankful. But I trust we are a thankful people every other day of the year. And not just on Thanksgiving, the fourth Thursday of the month of November, because we have so much to be thankful for. One day would not be enough to really take time to thank God for. We can be thankful to Him every day of the week, and I trust that we are, and it reflects in our lives as we live for Him. But as we come to this passage, we'll read verses 11 through 19 as we see an event take place as Christ speaks, and we see Him at work, as He always has been, and using miracles to get across spiritual truths to those that are there following Him. And so let's pick it up, verse 11, and we'll read verse 19. It says, "And it came to pass, as He went to Jerusalem, that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as He entered into a certain village, there met Him ten men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when He saw them, He said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have in our service to come and sit at your feet. Father, we do ask on the behalf of those of us that know you, may our hearts and minds be open to receive your word. We thank you for the salvation that we found by reading your word, by having someone show us out of your word that Christ came and died in our place for our sins. And Father, we by faith believed, repenting of our sins, believing in that finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ to save us. And Father, that truly miraculous work of the new birth was wrought in our hearts. And we were given a new life in Christ. Father, we will one day be in your presence forevermore. Our sins have been forgiven. They've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb and made whiter than snow. We're your children. Father, you are seeking now to grow us in Christ's likeness. You are doing that work in that new man, that new life, that Christ life, to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. You're preparing us to stand in your presence one day, as Christ stands in your presence even now. So, Father, I pray that we would yieldingly take that working of your word by the Holy Spirit in our lives to see us changed, made more Christ-like. I especially pray for those that may be here lost, that have not placed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who stand without. Oh, they may think that they are going. They may believe by works. They may believe by the things that they have done. But Father, they stand outside. May you open those hearts. May they see their need. May the blindness be lifted so that they may look on him who died in their place for their sins, rose again the third day, and may they come to a saving knowledge of him this morning. Do that work in each heart. May we go forth saying, it's been good to have been in thy house this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Two words, both one syllable. Not complicated to say. And yet, do not those words sometimes brighten the darkest day when expressed from genuine thankfulness? We like to hear them, don't we? We teach our children, please and thank you, and work on those things. Remember with our daughters growing up, we had a little book that used polite elephant. And he would work through those niceties of saying please and thank you and help to get those truths across to our daughters. But we like to hear them. You know, you do something for someone. Do you not like to hear thank you? I don't expect it. I mean, if we are expecting it, then we're kind of doing it for the wrong reason. I'm doing it out of a trust, a heart of love for others. And whether I hear the thank you or not isn't going to stop me from doing that again. If I'm going to open the door for a lady, which I seek to do, whether late... Charlotte's over here. I know her. I know. But I do. I open the doors. I don't expect a thank you, and more often than not, now Charlotte does, she does say thank you, so I'm taking her out of the mix here. But whether the lady says thank you or not isn't going to stop me from doing it again with that person or anybody else, because that's, one, that's who I am. I'm going to do that. And a thank you is a nice thing to hear. As I heard one of our deacons in my home church, and I wouldn't put this past him to have actually said it. I'm not sure that he did, but he brought it up as if he did. He had done this. He had opened a door for a lady, and she said, "Oh, you don't have to open that door for me because I'm a lady." And he said, "I didn't. I did it because I'm a gentleman." I don't know that I would go that far to say something like that to someone. That's kind of not me to do, but that's the reason. I appreciate him expressing that. That is why I do it, because I think I am a gentleman. I want to do that for ladies and the elderly, whatever the case may be, but it's because of who I am, that's why I do it. I open the door, or, you know, again, our other things. I mean, I'm just picking on the door today. For that, but you know, you hear a thank you, and I'll appreciate it. Okay, thank you. They acknowledge that something was done for them, and that's usually why we say thank you, because something was done for us, and we say those words. They're not hard to say. Again, you know, thank you. They're two one-syllable words, not complicated to say, and it is such a thing that is often so missing in our society today. I mean, I've not taken a tally because I'm not there to take a tally. You know, let's see, this week I opened doors, I did things for 25 people, And I had 20 of them say thank you, and five didn't. Yeah, I don't keep a running tally on those kinds of things to know, okay, what's the mix? How thankful are people? I don't. But it would be interesting, I think, at times to see just how thankful people are for the things that are done. And I realize, you know, there are times when people's minds are completely someplace else. You know, they're busy talking on their phone as I hold the door open for them. And so they're oblivious to me. Their mind is in this conversation and they don't even realize that somebody's held the door open for them so they don't run into it as they're talking on their phone. But we so often forget those things to say thank you. And we see this morning as we look at this man, we do find a thankful man here. And I want us to look and see, as we look into this man, you know, what's going on. But, you know, we need to be truly thankful in the right way to our Heavenly Father who loves us and who gave His Son that we might have life. And I trust we who know Christ as our Savior, we never get over that fact. He saved me. Our salvation should never get old. It should never lose that wonder and that joy, that Amen. Vitality, that strength, that whatever we had that moment we trusted Christ. And again, our emotions can run the gamut. Again, some feel like a load's been lifted off their shoulders. And they feel like they're standing much taller now because that weight of sin that was so holding them down has been lifted. Others have noted, man, the color seems so much brighter today, so much more vibrant now that I know Christ. I trust that they always do. And that burden that's been lifted, it's been lifted forever. It's not coming back. And we should joy and rejoice in those, in that knowledge day after day after day, whether it's been 2 weeks, 1 week, 50 plus years, still rejoicing and thankful that He saved us and did what He did to bring us from a life of sin and an eternity in hell to now a life of peace and joy and everlasting life. Amen. And be thankful for Him and thankful for what He has done. But as we look at this context, this text, and see the healing of these 10 lepers, truly may we examine ourselves and see where our thankfulness lies. It should lie in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see, you know, the lepers call to Jesus. And we find this is one of those times, whereas we see in John chapter 4, Christ says to His disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. And so He does. We've noted before, Galilee is in the north, Jerusalem is in the south. In between those two areas was the area of Samaria, the half-breeds. They were half Jew, half Gentile. They were the progeny of the Assyrians who took away the northern 10 tribes back in 722 BC. The Israelites were taken away because of their idolatry, because of their rebellion against God. And the Assyrians brought in some people to occupy that land. And they were having problems. And He said, get some of the priests back down here so these guys know what they're supposed to be doing in this foreign land. And the Samaritan religion formed out of that. Partly pagan, partly religious, partly Jewish. But the Jews would have nothing to do with them because they were false. They weren't worshiping God. And they didn't want anything to do with the Samaritans. And so when they wanted to go from Jerusalem to Galilee or Galilee to Jerusalem, they would cross the Jordan River to the east, walk down the eastern side of the Jordan River, and then cross over at Jericho, and then come up to Jerusalem. Or would reverse it if they're going to Galilee. They would never go through Samaria. They didn't want to meet them. They didn't want anything to do with them. And we see that noted back there. You know, the Jews don't have any dealings with the Samaritans. And that's why the Samaritan woman is so amazed that Jesus would ask water. But he notes that time and he encounters and many come to Christ. And here he is again and he's going through. He's not going around. He's going through. Why? Do they need salvation? Yes. These false teachers, this false understanding of worshiping God? Yes. And Christ comes there, and as he comes into these 10 lepers, as he enters this village, they're standing afar off. That's what lepers would do. They were told, whether Samaritan or Jewish, as we see back in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, as we're reading about the laws of leprosy and what they were to do, says, "And the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent, and his head bare, and he shall put on a covering upon his upper lip, and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean, he shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be." And so the lepers were outside the cities. Once that was determined that, yes, you have leprosy, they left the community. They had to be outside. Leprosy was contagious, or is contagious. They had to be outside. Unclean, unclean, so that people knew as they walked by, here's a man with leprosy. Okay. Don't want to be near you. Making that notification. And so as he comes into this village, that's where they are. They're on the outskirts. They're on the outside. Needing help for a disease that was incurable. And as they see Jesus coming, it's interesting. I'm always fascinated as we read the Gospels that the word of Jesus Christ traveled. They knew who he was, though they probably had never met him before. Word traveling ahead of time. Oh, Jesus is coming this way. Well, here's this group coming. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Thankfully, they knew where mercy could come from. This man, they obviously heard about. He's healed people. The blind have received their sight. The dead have been raised. The lame have been made whole. Impotent men have been made whole. The palsies have been made whole. Those with issues of blood have been made whole. Maybe he can do the same thing for us. Maybe his mercy can be extended to us. It's interesting how faith works in the heart, even when it is the blackest. Again, out of all things that anybody could have, leprosy was the worst because there was no cure. There was no going and finding an antibiotic or finding an ointment. That disease deteriorated the body. People lost fingers, ears, nose. Their body was basically just deteriorating, falling apart. No known cure. Yes, God gives us the means for cleansing. I say means to see that they were cleansed. The Old Testament shows us that in the book of Leviticus. The priest was to do things after a week to see how things were, and after another week to see if it had changed. And if they did, then they were declared cleansed. And they could re-enter society again. So they had that means, but those things weren't happening. And here these men are tied to this. But they come to him and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy. Receiving that which we don't deserve. Is that our thoughts? Mankind in our day and age thinks that they are deserving of seemingly everything. Everything is a right. You know, health care is a right. Really? Where is that? But everything seemingly is a right today. I deserve it. Really? Why do you? Well, because. It's me. I'm deserving of these things. Really? Why? But these men understood they weren't deserving of it. But there was a merciful God who could give us that which we don't deserve. And so they cry out to him. Jeremiah in the book of Lamentation reminds us of this in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 3. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Two verses that I trust we've put to memory. They may be a little fuzzy to try to repeat. But he reminds us, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. In the midst of Jeremiah's lamentation, his woes, his sorrows for the nation of Israel, we have this bright spot. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Though we rightfully should be, though God should strike us dead because of our rebellion against Him, we've not been consumed. He's been merciful to us, even in the midst of our rebellion. I trust that we who know Christ, we've understood that when we came to Christ. He could have snuffed our lives out at our first sin. And he would have been just in doing so. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin, the payment of sin is death. We could not stand before God and say, God, that was not just when you took my life after my first sin. He would say, no, it is just. Because the payment of sin is death. You sinned, you died. But we're all here as testimony of saying, thankfully, yes, the Lord's been merciful to us. He didn't take us home. He's been merciful. His mercy, as the psalmist will say, endures forever. I trust we don't grow weary when we come to Psalm 136. We get a little foretaste in Psalm 18 as you read through the Psalms. as he makes a short phrase, and then he says, "His mercy endureth forever." And then you come to chapter Psalm 136, and you have that. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Why should we give thanks unto the Lord? For his mercy endureth forever. And then he will give another short phrase in verse 2 and say, "For his mercy endureth forever." And then verse 3, "For his mercy endureth forever." And the psalmist drives that thought home to us because every verse has it. "For his mercy endureth forever." To which, as he says at the beginning of the psalm and at the end, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." He is a merciful God. Thank him. And thank him. And thank him. These men have called on this right man, the Lord Jesus Christ, this teacher. "Have mercy on us." They're like us. They're afflicted with a physical disease that has no cure. Believers, we were afflicted. We're afflicted with sin. It's not a disease. I'm not going that route. It is a sickness, if you will. We are sick with sin. Paul to the Romans said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We've missed God's mark. We've all sinned. And we are foolish to say, "No, I haven't." It is foolish for us to say such a thing. I would encourage you, read the Ten Commandments. Go to Exodus chapter 20. Read those opening verses. And be honest with yourself. You've kept all 10 of those from the day you were born? Say, "Yes, I have." To which I would say, "You've broken one. You've lied." Because I can guarantee you somewhere along the way, you have lied. Say, "But, well, maybe yes, when I was a child." Okay, glad you're willing to admit it. You broke God's law. Say, "But I don't see anywhere that says it's okay when you're up to this age to go ahead and lie, to cheat, to steal. But once you reach this age, then all bets are off." There's no age limit there, folks. Whether young or old, we've lied, we've cheated, we've stolen. We've coveted. And in doing so, we've broken God's law. We've missed his mark of, yes, perfect righteousness. We've pulled the arrow back in the bow and we've shot at the target and it's fallen short. Because that's what we are. We're incapable of fulfilling God's perfect righteousness in our own strength. And so, yes, we stand condemned in our sins. And without Christ, we have no hope. Paul to the Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 12, he gives that beautiful opening to this, but we followed along, and he notes in verse 12, says, "At that time, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He lays it out pretty clear. Ephesians, that's what you were before you came to Christ. You were with outside the fold, you Gentile believers. You're like these lepers. You're outside the city. You're outside the community. We didn't know Christ. We were outside. We weren't part of God's chosen people. We were aliens. No hope. And without God. But God, who is rich in mercy, brought that news of salvation to us. They came to the one who could help them. They came to the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you come to Him? Have you come in simple faith, believing that He died in your place on the cross of Calvary for your sins? Christ came for that. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Mark chapter 2, verse 17, it notes, when Jesus heard it, He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Do you understand our need? A person who is sick understands the need. I need to go see a doctor. A person who is lost, yes, I'm lost. I need help. I need to be found. Have you come to that understanding? That you were, as again Paul notes in Ephesians, we were dead in trespasses and sins. But that we can be alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we come by faith, believing that He died in our place for our sins. These lepers, I believe, understood some of this truth because they call out to Him, Master, have mercy on us. We have the Lord's look of compassion when He saw them. He responded to their call. And He said, go show yourselves to the priest. It would require, if you will, an act of faith on their part. Were they cleansed at that moment? No. Go show yourselves to the priest. That was part of the Old Testament requirement. If you believe that you were healed of your leprosy, you had to go see the priest and go through the process that's laid out. These men could have said, hey, there was a guy back in the Old Testament named Nahum. And he wanted something spectacular done. Won't you do something spectacular? Won't you just cause us to be cleansed right here, right now? I mean, that's what Nahum wanted. He was told to go down to see the prophet in Israel because they had an Israelitish maiden girl in his home that said, oh, that he could see the prophet. The prophet would take care of him. And so he goes to see the prophet. What does he do? The prophet doesn't even see him. He has sent his servant to the door. Man, I work for the king of Syria. I'm an important somebody. And he sends his servant to me? What does his servant say? Go wash in the Jordan River. Dip yourself seven times. You'll be healed. Naaman's response, oh, yeah, let's go. No. Indignant. How dare you? Go down to that muddy Jordan River? Man, back in Damascus, we've got two rivers that are nice, clean, and pure, sparkling. Man, send me there. Or do something great. You know, call fire down from heaven. Or do something spectacular to cleanse me. Thankfully, he has a wise servant that's it. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously, and putting it in the vernacular. Why don't you just do what he says? That's not so difficult, is it? He told you to go down to the Jordan River and dip yourself 7 times in it. That's not that hard. And so he goes. 1, 2, nothing happened yet. 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, man. Okay, one more time. And he's whole. Flesh has been restored. And he goes back a changed man. These 10 men go to the priest. It's not until they act in faith to do what they've been told to do that they're cleansed. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, believing that he died in your place for your sins.
Amen.
Take that step of faith.
Yes.
These 10 men turn and go. And as soon as they turn and go, they're cleansed. You say, how do you know that they were cleansed as soon as they turned? Because the one that turned around could fall at Jesus' feet right there. They didn't walk 10 paces or 20 paces and then were cleansed. They were cleansed as soon as they turned to head that way. So all 10 could have turned around at the same time and fallen at his feet. But only the one did. And we know that they turned because we see in verse 15, it says, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So again, we're not talking a long procession. They were there near Jesus. Jesus said, go and see the priest. They turned, they go, they're healed. One that sees that he heals turns around and he's able to fall down at Jesus' feet right there. God is the one who saves us. Have we thanked him for it? Do we thank him for it? This man did. And note, as Luke then says, and he was a Samaritan. That dreaded half-breed. That dreaded person who had part of the truth but not all the truth. That had departed from God. But he came to God. For we're told, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
That salvation that we have, that transformation, is all of God.
Yes.
Not of us. We by faith believe that he died in our place for our sins. He's the one that does the saving, the changing of us, the giving of us of his life. And this one is thankful. He glorifies God with a loud voice. And he falls down at his feet, and gives him thanks. Why did he give thanks? His life completely changed. Say, well, yes, I mean, he was a leper and now he's been healed. Yes, he had a life of hopelessness. Humanly speaking, was there any cure? No. Was there any change in his life that was going to take place? No. Always outside. Always away from family and friends. Always rejected. Always looked down upon. You can't come into this city. No. You're a leper. You stay outside the gates. But now he's been accepted. He's been received. And then Christ asks that haunting question. Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. How oftentimes we stop and we don't give thanks. We receive the blessing, whether it be salvation or God answers prayer, and we go on our way. And we don't stop and turn around and bow before our God and say, thank you. Thank you. God, you answered that prayer. Thank you. As we read of prayer in the New Testament over and over again, thanksgiving is usually always present. Or the giving of thanks, supplication, prayers, giving of thanks. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Why does God remind us over and over again to be thankful? Right. Because we are forgetful. We get wrapped up and we move on and forget it. We're like the lady on the phone. Wrapped up in her life, the door is opened for her by someone, and she goes through that door without saying anything because her life, she's wrapped up in that phone, that conversation, whatever. And she doesn't pause to say the simple two words, thank you. May we not be found guilty as these 9 who have received God's goodness, His blessings, His mercy, His grace, His all, and we never stop to say thank you. Thank you, Lord. May we be truly a thankful people. Again, not just this time of year, but through all our lives. Because we have so much to be thankful for. If we will but stop and consider. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminders that you give to us, Father. You are such a loving, caring Heavenly Father. You truly are patient with us. We tend to not stop and turn like these 9, but we head on our ways. You meet needs. You changed us. You saved us. You minister to us in so many ways, and we walk on without taking time to say thank you, to rejoice in who you are and what you are doing in our lives. Father, may we be like this Samaritan leper who was healed. Father, truly may we turn and glorify you and give thanks. Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. Father, truly, that is a sad indictment to far too many. You've done so much for us. May we be a thankful people. May there be nothing between us to cause us to not come and thank you. Father, may we confess our sin to you, seek your cleansing, seek your acknowledgement. Just seek you and thank you for who you are and what you have done in our lives. Father, I pray that you may be at work. We know that you are. Your word will not return void unto you, but will accomplish that which you please. So, Father, I pray that we would go forth being a thankful people, not just for today, but, Father, may it put it in our hearts and minds to be thankful tomorrow and the day after and the day after, as we keep our eyes set on you and see how you are at work in our hearts and lives. And Father, rejoice and glorify you and thank you for what you are doing, what you have done. And Father, have that full assurance of knowing that you will continue to work on our behalf. Do the work now, we pray, with your word. In Jesus' name, amen.